Absolutely fantastic. You happy to be in church today? Who said you could sit down? Come on, guys, let's get on our feet and pray, shall we? And God is in the house. I know a lot of excitement about fathers. That's a very honourable surprise. Thank you, getting a Father's Day present. I've been hanging out for that for months. Thank you, guys. Hey, isn't it awesome to be in God's presence? The greatest thing is to be in God's presence. I was just thinking, whoa. Stephen was talking about the incredible person Joseph was. That what an incredible God we have, that God entrusted Joseph with the most precious gift on earth. And we are the honored recipients of Jesus Christ came to earth, guys. Thank God Joseph looked after him. Thank God for a Joseph. I wonder where you're at today. God wants to use us in similar purposes so that we can raise people up and bring people into God's presence. But while you're standing, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for greatness in the service. Father, we thank you right now for every single father here. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, God. We thank you for the incredible nation we live in. We thank you, Lord God, that even today, God, that you would show yourself strong in our lives right across this place right now. God, I pray that you would visit every single individual in this place with your power. God, those who need healing, I pray they'd be healed today in this service. I pray right now, Lord, that your joy would overflow us, that your hope would fill us. God, that we would walk into your glory, your destiny, and your power today. And God, I thank you right now for the word of God in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted? Amen. Amen. Before you sit down, I think you should just let up a huge shout of praise in the place, okay? For the God who is our ultimate Father. Come on. One, two, three. Jesus, God, we praise you. God, we give you all the glory. We declare that our God is an awesome God. We declare that our God is an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you sit down this morning. Well, I've got to admit, I don't know whether it looks like Father's Day or what up here. I mean, somebody said to me before, where's the diapers? And that would be more like fathers. You know, this is a little bit more like we've sort of matured beyond the dad situation and we're sort of enjoying all the toys. But anyway, it's fantastic. Thank you, guys, you set that up. It looks absolutely brilliant. And let's go to our Bibles today. Go to the Word of God. And this is the stuff that you need as a father, let me tell you, the Word of God. This is the stuff that will get you through. For every father here today, I want to commend to you the Word of God, okay? We've titled this season, Kia Kaha, which means be strong and be steady, okay? Every dad needs to know that, to be strong and be steady through the walk of life. The Bible verse that's referenced there, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let me read that to you, actually. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a great verse, isn't it? I mean, what a great verse. Be strong and courageous. To have courageous men, it's an interesting thought, but I think today we struggle to find our courage because we struggle to find our identity. Our identity is incredibly important because God wants us to know who we are. And I believe every man here who's a father today, we should almost include every single mum there because they do a pretty good job too, single mums who are raising kids. But I want the dads just to stand to their feet for a moment. Oh, would you please just stand to your feet? If you're a father in the house, stand to your feet. We're honouring fathers today, right across this place. God, we thank you right now for great fathers. Great fathers. I prophesy over you today that God's anointing be upon you and that God would totally and abundantly bless your life in Jesus' name. Now, I want at least every woman still sitting down to give them a huge hand clap for being great dad. Yeah. Great dads. Thank you, dads. And You can sit down now. I like Joseph because God did entrust his son into his care. I believe it's an incredible privilege and an honor to be a father and to actually have God put his son into Joseph's care and for us as fathers to have children in our care. Always remember that, the incredible responsibility of parenthood. We had a great discussion about that at our life group this week, and I believe that to be a parent is the ultimate responsibility in life. I'll drink to that. I'll drink to that. Just let me tell you a couple of things about Joseph. As Stephen said, he may have never said a lot. And he didn't say a lot. There wasn't a lot of word. But I'll tell you what he was. He was an action man. And that's what we're talking about today, really. Whenever God spoke to Joseph, he acted. And when God spoke to him about the woman he was supposed to marry, and he was a little bit in two minds about it because she was pregnant, which is an interesting concept in itself, But he was obedient to God. And I think one of the great things of a dad is to be obedient to God. I think as a dad, if you can obey God and be an action man, put it into action, man, you're going to be a total winner in that field, okay? So it's pretty simple, really. That's all there was about Joseph, really. He was an action man. He trusted God. He trusted God because big responsibility he took on. He took on a woman who was already pregnant in that time and in that season. But there's something that was about Joseph, and if you study the life of Joseph and the few words we get, he was a kind man. And what a great thing to have kind people. People around you who are kind enough to show their love and to let it actually get out of them and affect you. And the other thing about Joseph, he was a gracious man. He had mercy. He didn't judge. He was quick to mercy. And I think let's be men who know how to be merciful. In fact, that would be kind. In fact, the whole story there about Jesus coming and Joseph, I was thinking about as I was sitting down there, really. I was thinking, you know, when Adam was in the garden, I was just thinking he totally gave our will. The will of man was surrendered to Satan. We surrendered our willpower. We surrendered our will and our choice. We gave it over, and from there on, mankind lived in a cursed arena, and we went through thousands of years like that. And that was in the Garden of Eden, where Adam handed it all over. He said, "No, I'm giving up. I'm yielding my willpower over to you," and he gave it over there. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see. When the Bible says he was actually in deep consideration of what lay before him, of the cross and walking to the cross and suffering a cruel crucifixion for our redemption. And it's interesting because it was while in that garden, and God was just talking to me right there in that front seat, actually, and said it was in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus, it says he sweat drops of blood, and he won back our willpower off what Adam lost, Jesus won in the Garden of Eden, guys. We can make great choices now. We can live in the victory of a free choice won by the cross of Calvary. Because when Jesus was in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done, O Father." And I believe what an incredible key for each one of our lives today that we can know, we can know that while Adam lost our willpower and our willpower of choice, Jesus won it back. And we can live with confidence knowing that we can live strong and we can live steady because we have the willpower of choice now. What Adam lost, Jesus won. Even the birth of Mary, really, when you think of it, because Joseph, of course, became the father of an unwed mother, probably 17, and because God is always faithful, and he's our ultimate father today, and the ultimate father is a holy God, and no matter where your earthly father has failed you, God never fails you. Can I just declare that again? God never, ever fails you, okay? You can trust God, even in your darkest night, because God has always been a covenant-making God. He made a covenant with Noah. The first covenant he made was with Noah. He said, "Noah, I'm going to make a covenant." God's a covenant maker. God wants to restore relationship. In the Old Testament, God was distant, difficult to approach. You had to go through three veils just to get to God. But in the New Testament, because Jesus came and died for us, we can come immediately into the presence of a holy God. You can walk into a service like that. You don't even have to be in a service like this. You can be in your own home, in your own bedroom, and you can approach a holy God. And we are privileged in this generation to have such incredible access to a holy God who can change our lives, restore us, heal us. And at one prayer, God is there to answer your prayer. Why? Because Jesus won the victory at the cross. Don't get too excited about that. But Jesus won the victory at the cross. And so he made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with, I think the next person was Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. Then Moses. And down through the ages, I think the next one was David. He made covenant with David. And down through the... But you know, the ultimate is that God decided that he needed to make an everlasting covenant with mankind. And he did it through Jesus the Son. And he came and he was conceived in Mary's womb, divinely breathed in by God, because Adam lost so much authority. He lost the breath of God. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. And then it says that mankind created after, it actually says after that, that mankind created after his own image, in the likeness of man. And we're mankind. We're not like God. So much so that when Jesus came, they said, this is not like any other man. Why? Because he was breathed in, created and formed in the womb of Mary, and then born to bring us freedom. And man, am I excited about that, that God sent, that he had a plan for us, that he sent Jesus so you and I could be totally set free of the curse and liberated into being great dads today. I need a drink to that again. Boy, I'm thirsty. Oh, that must be why. Got to get this gear off now. It's too hot. And so can I say today that Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, and then in Revelation it says, simply says this. It says, they overcame. So every father here, I want to prophesy over you today that you are an overcomer in Jesus' name. And it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and love not their lives even unto the death. That's the God we serve today. That's the God we serve. The blood of Jesus, the great covenant that set us all free from the curse, so that we can live in the victory of what Christ won for us on Calvary, of God's ultimate covenant with us in every way. Either way you look at it, Jesus, when he came, like I said, he sweat in the garden. And even then it says he sweat drops of blood and changed the atmosphere. I believe God wants to change the atmosphere in your life today. Secondly, Jesus, he went and he was, remember, they took him in and they beat him and plucked his beard. And his blood actually spilt in there, and he became, they said you couldn't even recognize him. His visual status was not the same any longer. And I believe that right there, Jesus Christ was of no identity, and he became no identity so you and I could have a great identity in the name of Jesus today, that we'd know who we are and what we are, what we're here for, what we're supposed to be doing, and live for the cause, not just live freely and rampantly in life. And that leads to the first question that was ever asked in the Bible by God. Adam, where are you? And God is always looking for men to stand in the gap. God is always looking for men to rise up and stand and be strong and not quit. And he says to Adam, where are you, Adam? The first question God asked. The only other question right in the beginning of the Bible here is asked by Satan, did God really say? Well, yes, he did. If they'd got that one right, we wouldn't have been in that situation to start. But then he comes looking for Adam. And it tells me a few things about our Father God. He always remembers you. He always thinks about you. That's a father heart right there. And the other thing is he comes looking for you. So wherever you're at today, as a father, maybe you're invited along by your kids today. Maybe you came to celebrate Father's Day. But whoever you are today, I want to ask you that question. Where are you at today? Maybe God's asking you that. Where are you actually at in your heart? Because God has a great plan for every single man here today. And I believe that knowing those plans. The other thing about God, the fact that he came looking for Adam, he does have a plan for your life.
God does have a plan for everything. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not evil, to give you a great future and a great hope. This is the Father God. This is our God who would even, that's why through his word we can be trained and equipped to become great fathers with the same spirit that would look for opportunities and look to prophesy and look to bring his word and look to bring freedom. The only other time that it's asked is when Israel was more or less a conquered nation and they were in defeat and they couldn't find any victory, and God had to come looking for a man again. And he says, Gideon, what are you doing hiding in that wine press? What are you doing hiding away? I've anointed you. I've called you. And can I say to every man here today, you are anointed, appointed, and called of God for this season, for this generation. We can't shrink back. We can't hide away. We can't keep our gifts to ourselves. We've got to leap out of that box and come out fighting in Jesus' name. He already won the victory for us, and we can rise up today and know that the victory is ours through Jesus Christ. And so let's be men that know how to rise up and know how to fight the fight of faith and overcome in Jesus' name. Very exciting. A man misplaced becomes replaced, and God ultimately displaced or misplaced. God gets pushed out of the picture when you and I don't stand up and bring God where we need to arrive. And I want to challenge you a little bit today. Let's be men that bring God back into the place he should be, in the home, in our society, in our world, in this generation. Let's rise up with faith in our hearts, with a prophetic gifting on our lives, and let's do what God wanted to do. The Bible says in Luke 5:22 that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Luke 5:22. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with both God and man. And I believe Joseph must have been a great dad because he trained Jesus in wisdom. And wisdom is the ultimate thing. The Bible says go after wisdom with everything you've got. If you don't get wisdom is the ultimate we could look for in our lives. You can tell where a person's at with wisdom, where they're going, where they're looking, and what's happening in their life. Because wisdom actually builds stature in your life. A lot of people, they don't know who they are, so they have no stature. You'll never get favor with man and God without stature in your life. We need to know who we are, whose we are, and we need to bow before them and rise up in strength and go forward in victory, knowing that our God is for us and he already won the victory. So the first step to grow in wisdom is a collection of experiences. And man, you can have an experience or two when you've got children. They will teach you the heart of God. Children are amazing at teaching you the heart of God, teaching you about grace, teaching you about forgiveness, teaching you about mercy, teaching you about love. The greatest experience you can ever have, really, is having kids, especially two at a time, John, and then you learn what it is to be stretched a little bit, to have your life stretched out, that it's not all about you, it's about someone else. Such a selfish world we live in today, I think we quickly forget that life is not all about us, but it's about others. God sent Jesus not for himself, but for others, and we need to always believe that we are here about others. Come on, somebody, you're here about others. It's not all about you. We need to live bigger, dream bigger, and have a life that actually, there's something in our life that transpires our life. You see, the struggles we go through, and you could be struggling here today, but I thank God for the struggles I've been through in life. I thank God for the times that have been incredibly difficult in my life. I praise God for those times because they build a greater character in you than anything of the freedom will. It's always the struggle that we come out stronger, we come out better, we come out with victory in our heart. That's why the Bible says what it is to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer. I don't just want to wander through life and be all about myself and how hurt I am. I want to testify of the goodness of God, how he causes me to overcome and others overcome at the same time. Whoever you are in this place this morning, I want to tell you, get ready to overcome. Get ready to overcome. Jesus rose from the dead. He's not dead any longer. He rose from the dead. He descended. The Bible says he descended into that place of the lost that place, I think it was called Abraham's bosom, and he went into there where all those guys were locked up. Abraham was there, Moses was there, he walked into there and he unlocked that gate, and the Bible says that when Jesus rose from the dead, they all rose with him. David and all those guys rose with him. There was an earthquake. We need to get an earthquake of resurrection power happening in our lives that believe that when God's in us, anything is possible. Miracles are possible. Hope's possible. You can pray with someone who has no hope in their life, and you can begin to stir up hope in their lives. Why? Because you're a man of God. You're a man of God, and you've got the victory, and Jesus gave you authority, and he won the victory so you could live in that authority, not hide away in it. That's why he spoke to these guys. And I believe this, that once your wisdom begins to grow, your stature actually increases, and you get greater favor, and you get greater capacity about your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, remember this, Jesus hadn't done a single thing at that stage. He'd done nothing, just been a young man. He'd been a builder. He was trained by Joseph to be a builder, which is a pretty good trade, all the builders in the house. I was building yesterday, flat out building. I was building all day yesterday from dawn till dark, which is an interesting life. And but Jesus said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He spoke from heaven. God spoke directly out of heaven over his Son and said, "This is my beloved Son." You know, one of the greatest things a father can do for his kids? Prophesy over them. The greatest thing you'll ever do. See, I believe, and I'm just going to flick just real quick, because I've got a lot of stuff here, but we're never going to get time for it. But I just want to say this. This is what Dad, you want some points today? Let me give them to you right now. Number one, dads are protectors, okay? You're a protector. God is the ultimate protector. He made you a protector over your family. We know how to protect our families, to stand in the gap for them, to pray for them, to get on our knees. My dad recently passed away, I felt a weight of responsibility come on me, because my dad would be a guy, he'd be up, you'd go and stay at his house, and you'd hear him up at about 5:30 in the morning, and he'd go in his room, and he'd be on his knees, and he'd be praying for every one of us in the family. And now my kids ring me up, and they said, "Are you praying for us like Grandpa did?" So there's a big responsibility there to stand in the gap, whoever you are. We are protectors, okay? And God is the ultimate protector, and we need to know how to bring his will to birth. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we pray, we activate the will of God. Number two, we're providers. Men are providers, and we need to know how to be a contributor, to add to people's lives, to provide perspective to a family, to give them perspective. That's why we get up early in the morning. That's why we go to work. That's why we work all day and we come home. And every child or sibling or whoever you are here, a son or daughter today, need to write a letter to your father today and thank them for the awesome men they are. One of the greatest things I ever did was on the day, probably a week after Julia and I got born again, went and sat down with my mum and dad, and we asked them to forgive us. I had to certainly ask them to forgive me for the sort of life I'd lived up till then. But just to honor our parents. The Bible says we should honor our father and mother. We need to honor the dads who gave us incredible destiny in this life, okay? So the Bible says that we are providers. God himself is the ultimate provider. The Bible says that he provides every need. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 that my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And I believe that as a dad, we have that responsibility to provide for our families. Number three, we should be promoters. Promoters, using the gifts God has given you to make them look great. We should promote. Don't put your kids down. Promote them. Lift them up. And as a dad, we have that incredible ability. That's what Jesus was all about. Sorry, what God was all about when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well." He was promoting Jesus. This is who he is. Number four. We are priests, okay? We're a priest. You're a priest in your own home. And the first thing Noah did when he got out of the ark was built an altar. And I believe every family should have some form of an altar. You should have some form of an altar in your life. You should have something that you can get your kids and your family and bring them into the church and get them around the altar of God and get them to experience the greatness of God's power. The greatest thing you'll ever do is get an altar happening in your life and in your world. And I want to say today, I believe this right now is an incredible altar. It's got a Chevy, is it a Pontiac? Impala, sorry. Chevy Impala, a Harley, and a BMW on it. But nonetheless, this is an altar today. And I'd like to invite every man to stand right now today, because you are the priestly house. You know, I reckon one of the indictments of our generation is that we have not known how to have a man lay hands on us and impart an anointing of a priesthood over us so that we can walk in the victory of God. I'm going to ask every man who stands who's a father today, why don't you stand with me today? Because I know we've got a gift for you after the service, and I've got to make sure I finish in time. Because finally, my final point is that you are a prophet. A good father prophesies. A good father prophesies. He says, you're a winner. You can do it. You can make it. And I believe no matter what you've been through, you know, Rachel, when she was dying in childbirth, she named her son Benaniah, which means son of my sorrow. And, you know, a lot of times if we speak words that are not victorious, we bring curses and we bring injustice. But I believe fathers need to know how to prophesy the word and the will of God. And then Jacob walks into the room and they come up to him with this little baby and they said, here's this baby, it's called Benaniah, son of my sorrow. And he said, no way will you call this kid that. You're going to call this kid Benjamin. Benjamin, which means son of my strength, which is what we're talking about today. And that little boy becomes one of the kings of Israel. And his father, I believe his father had the willpower and the strength in him to prophesy over him and call him something that was not and call it into being. I want every man to approach the altar today, if you would, if you're standing, please. And I want to pray over you today as we come to an end of this service. You know, I think one of the issues in our society today is that many men have never had it prophesied over them who they actually are. Who they actually are. You are a man of God. You are a man of destiny. You are a priest and a prophet and a king. You are great at business. You are great at what you do. You are great at what you are. You're a great husband. You're an incredible provider. I want you to crowd right up the front here. Come on, let's get out of the aisles and get right up the front. You're an incredible provider. You have God's hand upon your lives. As a resourcer, you are the greatest resourcer. You can see opportunities, and God's going to open those doors. And I prophesy over every man here today. You're a businessman. You're a man that has business on the inside of you, and God wants you to rise up. You are a priest and a prophet who will prophesy over your children and call them what they are. Not what they look like, not what where they fail, but what they are. And I believe today, as I pray for the men of this church, Inspire Church, I'm going to believe God for you today, that you rise up, that you live in victory, that you live in health, that you know that God's power is in you, that you will not shrink away, that God will not ask, where are you and why are you hiding? But God will say, man of destiny, rise up and take that opportunity. Man of destiny, rise up and defeat that enemy. And I believe there's going to be a new prayer life come on you, and a passion for prayer, and a passion, God, where are the people that will pray? My Bible says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then from heaven will I hear and be glad, forgive them of their sin, and heal their land. It goes on to say that he will turn the hearts of the children to their parents, and the hearts of the parents, and the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of us all to one another. And I believe today, let's get ready for a miracle. right across the society, right across our world, our nation, in Jesus' name. So why don't you as men lift your hands? Why don't I can ask every other person in the house to stand and stretch your hand toward them if you would, please. And Father, we believe right now, and I prophesy over you as men, that this would be your year. I prophesy over you right now. I declare the prophetic word of the God of God over you, that you will be strong, that you will not quit, that you will have willpower, that would make great decisions, that you would be a man who stands strong and stands by his word, that you will have character and heart on the earth, that your children will look up to you and praise you, that your children will look up to you and thank you, that your children will be mighty. And I pray right now, some of you in this right here standing here, your kids are away from God, but I tell you right now, get ready. God's going to take you into another dimension of prayer, and you're going to begin to see breakthrough in those fields, because God is a God who answers prayer. No longer do we have to wait 21 days for Michael the angel to break through, because we got the victory through the blood of Jesus. And I want to tell you right now, God says, I hear your prayer, and I'm looking for you to stand in the gap today. And as you lift up my voice, and as you lift up my name, and as you lift up my glory, as you give thanks to me, I will show you my mighty power and my mighty strength. I declare that over your lives. I declare health. I declare victory. I declare financial breakthrough for those that are struggling right now. I declare wisdom over you, that God will use you and provide wisdom for you, that you would rise in stature and have favor with God and man, and that the wisdom of God would be seen among you in Jesus' mighty name. I declare it over you today. Come on, let's give God all the glory and all the victory today. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Holy Spirit. Wow. And I just want to say thank you, men. I want to thank you for representing God as a father. I want to thank you for standing. I want to thank you for your integrity and your character. And I want to thank you for being incredible providers. God bless you. I love you. God bless you. You're amazing. You can sit down again. Thank you. Give them another hand clap as they go back. Now, we've got a gift for all the men. Oh, well, we've got a gift for everybody this morning, actually. We've got an incredible, I think we've got beautiful beef sliders for you. And it's going to be very exciting when you get out there. But before we go, I don't know who it is here today, but someone right now, and you've got back pain. You're in this meeting and you've got back pain. Just wherever you are right now. Who is that right now? You've got back pain right now, because I believe God told me you're going to get healed. Just then, over here, come up here, Roger, come up here, mate. I believe God's going to heal you this morning, man. Jesus' name. I just felt that while those men, I should have grabbed you while you're up here, actually. But lift your hands toward heaven, mate, in Jesus' name. We lay hands on this back right now, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare and we activate the power. Boy, there goes the anointing on you right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. You too, Owen. Holy Spirit, give me a hand right now. Jesus. Jesus. Boy, oh boy. Power of God just going through you, man. Power of God right now over you. God says, lift up your eyes. Son of God, lift up your eyes. Know that I am with you. Know that my power, oh boy, the power of God right now. In Jesus' name, right over him, Lord, we rebuke back pain. In fact, in Jesus' name, right now, get off him. You have no authority there. In Jesus' name. Hayden, you mighty man of God. Love you, buddy. Thank you, God, for this man. Thank you, God, for your hand upon him. Hayden, I want to tell you, get ready in this next season. Just feel as you stand here today, God says, in the next season, I brought you this far by my grace. And God says, I've built you, and I've put character in you, and I've put destiny in you, and I've built you in the word of God. And in my word, you will live, and in my word, you will flourish. But God says, in this season, I'm going to bring great, opportunities of stature into your life. God says, I'm going to bring men alongside you, even men, with great wisdom, and you're going to learn off them, and you're going to know stuff that you never knew before. But God says, right now, power of God goes through you, and I speak healing over that back in Jesus' name. And I pray right now, Lord, let it be totally and completely restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a big hand clap. Hey, just as I finish, I wonder if you'd mind bowing your heads and just closing your eyes. Father, we want to thank you right now for your word this morning. I thank you for every person here, every single person here. God, I thank you for them. If you're here today and you've never had that relationship with God that you'd call a father relationship, maybe you feel distant from God. Maybe you're living in an Old Testament religious environment in your world where God is distant from you and difficult to approach. But Jesus came so you could have life and have it more abundantly. And he said, I came to set you free. And you don't have to go through a veil, and you don't have to go through some kind of difficult environment to get there. But Jesus came that you could approach him right here in a service like this. And friend, if you need Jesus this morning, if you need to get your heart right with God, if you want to get into relationship with God this morning, why don't you really quick just lift your hand. I want to include you in a prayer before we finish. Don, I need to make a decision and let Jesus come into my heart. Don, I need to make a decision and let God come into relationship with me. Who is that this morning? I'm just going to wait a moment as you make that decision, friend. Whoever you are right now, God loves you and he awaits you today. And I'm just asking you to lift your hand and say, yes, Jesus, that's me. I want to get into relationship with you this morning. Whoever that is right now, just one more opportunity right across this place, friend. You're not right with God, and you need to make a decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I love you. God loves you. Have a fantastic day. Remember, our church lives by the theory, belong before you believe. And we want people to come into this place and love the environment and get to know our heart and our character so they can begin to outlive what Christianity is and discover the incredibly awesome heart of our God. I love you. God bless you. Thank you.